A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Here you have the opportunity to get out the greatness that is in each of you. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's Tuesday the 9th of November. I'm Kate Mason.
I'm Jim Campbell.
And I'm Luke Moore.
But you two always bring the greatness, don't you? So
thank you very much, Kate. Yeah. It's you nice bring the cateness.
Say. Oh, thanks. You don't need Arsene Wenger inspiring you at this time of day.
I think there's definitely Jim. Certainly, I won't speak on behalf of Jim, but I'm sure he feels the same. We could all at least it would be a bonus.
It would. I'd assume that was a Jake Humphrey quote.
Yeah,
but there you go.
And Arsene Wenger famously said, "There is no need to be upset."
Awesome, mate. I really feel like I communed with him at the weekend, but perhaps we'll get on to that later.
Maybe we will. Maybe we will.
He's a great guy, isn't he Jim?
He is.
There's a big painting or photo of Arsene Wenger at the entrance to London Colney, isn't there? And all the
there
players
is. They
high five
it as they go in. Arteta put it there.
Yeah, but the fact that that's been talked about makes me a bit suspicious.
Well, you reckon
of it.
They seeded that out there?
Yeah. Well, it was in an Amy Lawrence interview, wasn't it? In The Athletic, they were on about high fiving it. I don't know. It sounds a bit like that's something that people would say.
It's very Sevilla Ballesteros at the Ryder Cup.
Write in if you're an Arsenal player.
Do people write in?
Showatfootballramble.com,
yeah.
Yes.
I feel like...
You constantly have Arsenal players writing in.
Type in.
Yeah, type in if you're an Arsenal player. Who wants to refute or
confirm 3 minutes
this.
In, Kate's already said write in if you're an Arsenal player.
Yeah.
You're going to be disappointed this week, Kate.
It's a football show, might as well aim high.
We can't even get the fucking listeners to type in, better than the fucking players. Oh, it should be type in. I think we should be very clear on that.
I agree.
That's not... What? No, it's a... Is it not an...
Well, I suppose you still write the email, right?
It's a legitimate anachronism.
And I suppose so. But you know, like another one of those would be, and this is going to be one for the visual people who are watching the social media video, but I'll describe it as best I can. When you ask for the bill in a restaurant, it's a... Yeah, exactly. It's a universal sign. You do a writing.
Feels
it shouldn't
rude,
be
though,
that now.
It
should be this.
Chip.
Type on the chip and
or
pin.
Even,
or would
just
it not
tap.
Be contactless?
Yeah.
Yeah, tap.
Just tap it with your phone.
I want to do the tap.
But then that looks very odd.
And then you look like a Tory MP making a point.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Anyway, sorry, Kate, carry on.
Yeah, it's all right. We need to talk about Eddie Howe, who actually, I think, kind of looks a bit like a Tory MP, come to think of it. A young, handsome one.
Based on just a picture, I can see what you're saying.
I think he would carry himself very well in a restaurant. Mm. Eddie Howe, impeccable manners is my assessment.
As a sommelier or something?
Yeah. Oh, or even a diner.
None of your Bullingdon Club nonsense from here.
Yeah. No, I think Eddie Howe would be... listen, you do the intro bit. Yeah. That's Jerry that works, isn't it? You do the intro. I talk for 5 minutes, we all go home.
Thanks, Luke. Yes, Eddie Howe has been confirmed as Newcastle boss just under a month after the takeover. So people thought that things were maybe taking a bit longer, but actually maybe this was the strategy all along. Get into international break, have a wee think about it. Appoint Eddie Howe. Everyone on the internet with the flags and stuff is happy.
Yeah.
Are they? Are people happy? Has it been well received?
I don't know because it's hard to tell just from Twitter,
Jim,
isn't it?
Do you think people have well
but it's, the, I feel like the flurry of like, yeah, the flurry of those stupid tweets, it, maybe they're all bought anyway,
yeah.
Is just like, oh, yes, we trust you.
I think that I can see why that's the case. He seems like a very nice man. I think if you were, if you know, if in some kind of fictional universe where I was a 60-year-old man and my daughter brought home Eddie Howe, or my son, I'd be very, very happy with that.
Although you might not, sorry to cut in, Luke, but based on what I read and hear about his meticulousness, he sounds a bit
detail heavy.
Oh my days. First of all, that, and second of all, she'd never see him.
True. Yeah, he's married
not
to
like
job.
Arteta, who in the similar article was like, the first thing I do is kiss my wife and make sure to be around for the family.
That's standard, though, isn't it?
Whereas Eddie Howe
is
like...
It's the bare minimum, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, you say that. It's football.
True.
I think, yeah, it's interesting how they've appointed Eddie Howe because I guess some people might think, well, if they're this now currently, you know, the well-publicised richest club in the world, why have they gone for Eddie Howe? Is there something going on there? But I think my take would be that this is a process. You're not going to get, I mean, Man City didn't get Pep Guardiola straight away. They hired some illustrious managers nonetheless, arguably more illustrious than Eddie Howe. Well, they didn't get quite to the end game, the Avengers end game, straight away. So with Eddie Howe, his stock has always been fairly high. I know that his most recent foray has been to suffer a relegation, but ultimately, what he was able to do at Bournemouth was incredible, and all the reports you'll hear about him are hardworking, meticulous, you know, doesn't ask people to do anything he's not prepared to do himself, very detail-orientated, workaholic, all the rest of it, and then obviously clearly a nice man.
And also a good motivator, which they clearly badly need.
And that's interesting, Jim, that you bring that up, because his most recent activity has been relegated with Bournemouth, but before that, He has been in relegation scraps with Bournemouth in the Premier League and survived.
Yeah,
so yeah, they were docked 17 points in that season when they managed to finish
not in the Premier League.
Sorry,
yeah,
when he first started in League Two, they nearly ceased existing as a club potentially. Given
the stuff he had to deal with at Bournemouth from day one was incredible, of course. But he's operated within quite a rarefied environment where the whole club has been built around him because he's been there from the start and he's built the whole thing in his own image. Now, I know they've had different owners and they've had more money injected, but whenever they've improved their resources or their facilities, it's arguably always been done with him in mind.
So you're raising the Burnley spectre.
I think it's in a weird way, I don't know what you think, Jim. In a weird way, it feels a bit cheap to do that, but actually it's all part of the story and you have to acknowledge it. When he's been taken out of that environment, he didn't succeed. Now, I know there are different reasons for that that have been given as you know, mitigation, and clearly that was quite a while ago now, and so maybe he could argue that he's learned from it. It depends which side of the fence you fall down on. But that's nevertheless one side of the story. So I think you have to say, on one hand, incredible what he was able to achieve. Actually, maybe even unprecedented in modern football in this country. But whenever he's been taken out of that environment, he's found it tough and he's going into a very difficult situation.
He is, but it so much of it depends on the infrastructure at the club, doesn't it? Now, it looks, when you look at, this has been a bit of a debacle, really, hasn't it? Getting to Howe, because it looked like Fonseca was going to take over.
Although he seems to think he's going to take over all clubs, doesn't he?
He
released almost exactly the same chat about, I thought I was going to be in charge at Spurs. But I also thought I was going to be in charge at Newcastle.
Essentially, they conducted their searches in a very, very public way that wasn't necessarily that respectful towards sitting managers and the jobs they already have, which I think probably comes from a little bit of naivety of the fact that they don't really yet have that many, you know, air quotes, football people in place. So on the one hand, you can look at the Burnley situation with Eddie Howe, but also, and I bear the risk of repeating myself here, but as I said last week, it is a project building situation, which is what he had at Bournemouth as well. So actually, there are also parallels in a more positive light. But I feel like so much depends on, there's talk of Michael Emanalo coming in, and if that happens, that's massive. Brilliant. Because they do need to get people who understand all this stuff that you can't just extrapolate from being in the office for a month. You know, you need people that know the industry and know how it works, know the relationships and know what's appropriate and what's not. But I feel like if this takeover hadn't happened and Steve Bruce had been sacked in like a normal way and then they got Eddie Howe in, everyone would be like, bloody hell, that's a great appointment. But until January, until they can spend any money, that playing feels the same. You know what I mean? That's exactly the same in this situation as it would have been in that situation.
It's a
huge positive.
Yeah, and it seems like the right kind of guy in terms of, yeah, he's dealing, as we keep saying, with the relegation scrap, isn't he? I'm pretty excited, to be honest, to see him back in management.
January's massive. January is massive.
Because £200 million, supposedly.
And yeah, because of the way that they haven't really exploited what they're able to spend for financial fair play because of fairly obvious reasons relating to the previous ownership. So January is huge, not just for the money they want to spend, okay, but also because you have to look at who is going to be entrusted to take the club forward off the pitch. Mm. So Eddie Howe was very, very well involved in most, I think maybe if not all of Bournemouth's signings. And the record he had was, you know, depending on what you want to take from that evidence, sometimes good, sometimes bad. You know, they were able to bring in good players who went on to do great things. And they were, you know, he also signed Jordan Ibe. He didn't do anything. And yeah. Dominic Solanke didn't really do anything under his tenure, although he's found some form now. So the key thing when a new ownership and a new structure comes into a club the size of Newcastle is, when it comes to signings, you've got to get more right than you get wrong. Jim's absolutely spot on to say that between now and January, nothing changes. Can he inject them with some confidence? Can he stop them conceding goals? Can he get them firing? Can he pick up points? Because they haven't won a game, you know, really. So there's a lot to do straight away. I think it will be absolutely fascinating to see him link up with Ryan Fraser again. That should be filmed and put out on Sky. Look, we're paying our money to Sky Sports for this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We should get that. That's the kind of stuff you should get.
Absolutely.
If Sky Sports are listening now, the first meeting between Eddie Howe and Ryan Fraser, I'll pay an extra tenner for right now. And there's millions of people who do the same.
All right, guys.
Tell ya.
Also linked with Aaron Ramsey, by the way. I mean, linked with everybody. Yeah. I was a classic one. I went rootling around to see, like, oh, all right, Aaron Ramsey gonna sign a Newcastle. And it was like an article in the Daily Mail linking to one that reported in the Mirror linking to Tuesday Sport. By the time I got to the end, I couldn't bloody read the language. Yeah. So I was just like...
Everyone is going to be linked to them now, aren't they? But they've got to be really careful with how they do that. Because I know it's a very, very different situation, but I think back to when Chelsea first got... Like, when Abramovich first came in, I think they signed Joe Cole, Damien Duff, Jeremy, and then Crespo, and probably one or two others. But I remember those all seeming to arrive at once. And I think you are looking... You're looking more at the Jeremy and Damien Duff though end at this point. Do you know what I mean? Because like there's talk of Philippe Coutinho, who would certainly improve them, but also really just isn't what they need.
That's why January is the key point, because we don't know what type of ownership they're going to be.
Yeah.
Now we assume automatically they're going to be this kind of sports washing, like redux of PSG and Man City, but they might not be. There's a lot of really wealthy people out there who own football clubs who, to the point where money isn't really a problem for them, whatever form it takes, that don't actually spend that much money.
It might actually be a better sports washing angle.
Well, maybe.
To appoint someone like Eddie Howe and then to build up the club with strategy and empathy and all those other things.
But does it also not smack to you, though, Kate, on that front, though, on the football side, are they not thinking, okay, if we get relegated here, Eddie might not be too bad. He's got experience of the Champions League.
Yeah.
You think they're
planning to get relegated?
I just don't think...
Well, it's got to be taken into account,
You don't hire in Unai Emery because you think you're going to get relegated. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So,
that's like what they wanted to do. He turned them down,
isn't it?
It's a built-in contingency, exactly.
So yeah, well, it seems like a smart move based on smart thinking, to be honest.
That's not what we want.
I
want it to be an absolute circus.
Mate, football's already a circus. Where have you been?
Well, if they do get relegated, do you think that people would take the same approach that was taken in Brazil's top flight this weekend? It's a clumsy segue, but I don't care. I want to talk about the coffins. So Grêmio have been in some difficult straits. They are, and their fierce local rivals are Internacional, and they held up, Internacional beat them and held up coffins to represent the fact that they, Grêmio, are in the relegation zone.
Yeah, and also it's worth pointing
out. So tasteful.
It took me a little while to understand this. This isn't fans. This is the players. Like, it's just unfathomable. And obviously that led to a massive brawl. Two players got sent off. And I honestly think not unreasonably
Say, I didn't even need you to say there was a brawl. I just assumed
it.
Yeah, South America, it's going to be a brawl.
A 22-man brawl. So the idea, I think, was that they'd gone off. They started to go off because you've got to get hold of the coffin somehow. A bit like the, was it the Mikel Antonio celebration with the dirty dancing?
Although nowhere near as good. The coffins are just like bits of cardboard box.
Very 2D. So the coffins that the players had were at least shaped like coffins.
Probably,
and there were some
up at halftime.
There were some in the stands. I guess people also bought into this. Just looked like bits of A4.
No, they were selling them on the club website. You could just buy them.
No, I don't think that's true. But actually, based on this entire thing, I could believe it, yeah.
Do you know what the dictionary definition of brawl is?
Go on.
I was wondering yesterday.
Oh, is it number of people?
No, it's not, sadly. I thought it would be. Apparently, it just means to fight in a noisy way, particularly in a public place.
Hmm.
So I presume they were being noisy, so it would be a brawl. It's certainly in a public place to an extent. So
That's interesting. I really thought it would be a numerical analysis. Like, you know, like it's not a serial killing unless it's...
Four, I think, within a month.
Three, I can't remember. Yeah. And it has, and you can't just do them, you can't do two at once.
No,
you
separate have to incidents. Do I think it's four within incidents. A month. Or longer than a month or something like that.
Right,
it's definitely a definition.
I assumed it would be three. Anyway, write it in, obviously, showatfootballramble.com.
Type in.
And you think that, like, Premier League football is mad, which it is, right? And... you then just cast your eyes across to South America.
Yeah.
And even the most basic stuff, in a way, it's a bit like when they played football in like the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, even their worst player, you got the impression, would be better and more skillful than England's most skillful player.
Yeah.
It's like this with like, quote, banter.
Yes.
Their level of it is so much higher that I don't think they probably are quite dismissive of what we can achieve over here. Mikel Antonio doing that, we thought it was amazing. For them, that is like chicken feed.
Yeah. No,
that huge Uruguayan derby, Peñarol and what's the other one?
Nacional,
yeah. There was a fire in the stands in one of those, and the referee didn't stop the game because that would have been too dangerous.
Yeah.
That was more dangerous than fire.
In the Premier League, have you ever seen players actually like physically chase a referee? That happens all the time in South America. The referee has to run down the tunnel sometimes.
Oh, what's cool about this, I read, they said it was a 22-man brawl, which suggests to me that the coaching staff and the
stay
subs and
it.
Stuff were being
stay
quite restrained.
Yeah. Do you reckon they could have subbed off a fighter and brought another fighter on?
Like a tag team wrestling. By the time you're a coach, it's like, look, we'll just let the players do this.
But if Newcastle do, I mean, your link, I mean, we have to observe Kate's link.
Yes.
If Newcastle do get relegated.
Can you see Sunderland doing this? I suppose they wouldn't be playing each other, so they'd have to buy tickets to the game, kind of defeat the point a bit.
It would also be a bit rich, wouldn't it, Sunderland doing it?
Yeah.
Someone else might be keen to get in on the action is Jose Mourinho, of course. His Roma side lost again after leading 2-1. This time, guys, 3-2 defeat to Venezia, the world's most elegant football club, as it turns out. Paolo Zanetti, the Venezia boss, said before the game, we have to work on ourselves. Jose Mourinho said after the game, it's the fault of the referees.
Yeah.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I mean, he's burning through the hits early here, isn't he?
Yeah, and I think, actually, I'm not totally sure about this, but I'm pretty sure Venezia were in the relegation zone before this win as well. So he's not...
it's not a good result. Their stadium looks amazing.
It's not a good result.
Tiny and open air.
But Venezia, my God. I walked past an advert for a high-end fashion brand, Bottega Veneta, I want to say. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. But anyway, they've got Raheem Sterling advertising them at the moment. Nice. And I walked past it. And because of all those like amazingly elegant shots that Venezia have for their for their shirts, I honestly was like, wow, Venezia advertising in like, you know, in the West End of London. Mad stuff. Anyway,
friends of mine went to Venice and came back disappointed that there weren't any water parks.
Yeah.
Which is an astonishing thought process.
It's one big water park though, isn't it?
Apparently not.
And are you friends with them still?
Yeah.
A water park like for kids?
Essentially, or adults.
I mean,
but there weren't any Roman flumes, essentially.
On one level, they are letting themselves down there because you've got all the materials you need.
Yeah.
I would have thought the Romans would have come up with some kind of ancient type of thing that still
why not fake it?
Yeah, true. And the thing I like most about this with Jose Mourinho is that, you know, a lot of managers will say, you know, you must make a friend of both victory and defeat. You know, you can't get too high at the victories. Yeah. You can't get too low with the defeats. And then you watch Jose Mourinho, who's a very well-decorated manager, and they lose to, you know, Bode Glimt or whatever. And it's a bad result, fair enough, but it's away from home, you know, and these things happen. And he's just going, I'm paraphrasing it, but he's just going, oh, half the team are absolute shit. All my players, they can't even play. They're fucking rubbish. And it's like, you think, how is that going to work? That's not going to work for the team. You know, even if the owners back you, they might give you three or four new players. I'm not going to let you sign 11 new players. It's not going to happen. So he doesn't seem to really operate in a universe where he cares about what anyone else is doing.
He can't be bothered with the siege mentality thing now, can he?
No, he's under siege himself.
Personal. It's just him. Yeah. It's just him.
Before we go to the break, I'd just like to point out that Kjetil Knutsen is being linked with the Norwich City job. He's the Bodo Glimt boss.
Oh, really?
Who I tipped for the Manchester United job in a few months' time.
Norwich and Man United, similar, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like the geezer on Twitter yesterday, who said...
It's the next step. Cardiff?
The geezer on Twitter.
It's just the next step.
He said yesterday to us in the Ramble, he said, oh, yeah, we're talking about West Ham for the title. If you look over the last 35 games, yeah, we're right in the conversation. And... the screenshot of the table, and they were 18 points below Man City.
Don't settle your don't settle your Twitter spats on this podcast, Luke Moore.
It wasn't my spat.
Don't settle it.
I don't have them.
We can carry on this debate together ourselves outside.
Okay.
All right. In fact, we'll do it now.
That means she's going to punch me.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL.
Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3, and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer.
For me, I would pick Leah Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season, and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
Hi, I'm Frank Leboeuf. You're listening to the Football Ramble.
Oh, thanks, Frank. Welcome back to the Football Ramble. Me, Luke and Jim with you today. Time to get to some emails. And I should probably state that I will never again punch Luke Moore. Jim.
Hi. A listener's been in touch.
Hi, Jim.
He says, I'd like to join Roy Keane in grabbing Ole Gunnar Solskjaer by the throat and telling him to bench Fred, but not because I care about United, Man United. It's simply that as someone named Fred, this has been a very difficult time to be a football fan. I turn on the Manchester derby and the commentators are criticising Fred on increasingly personal terms. I turn on the Football Ramble and Vatushin is saying, Fred is like a Labrador puppy. Bad Fred. Bad Fred. I'm personally triggered and it needs to stop. Fred out. Yours truly, Fred. Initially, I thought he was saying Fred out like a sort of mic drop thing there.
Yeah. Fred out. Fred out. Fred out. Oh, yeah, like I'm Fred with you. Out. Yeah. Sorry, Fred.
I am Fred and I am now out.
I think if we open this can of worms and we can't criticise players because they've got the same name as some of our listeners, we might not have much to say.
Yeah. Can Fred just call himself Freddy?
Yeah. I guess he could do.
I don't know that he should have to change his name because of Fred. Fred won't be there forever. Well, maybe he will, actually, the way things are going.
I don't actually think. I mean, this is probably controversial to say. I do also kind of feel a bit sorry for Fred. The player, yeah. Not the listener. I don't know the listener. He seems like he's got nothing to worry about. He's got things like this to complain about. And some might say the reason we don't get many people emailing is because I slag them off all the time, to which I think maybe they should be better at emailing. And it's their
you've
fault.
Got to
work,
you're trying to build them up. You're trying to boost them, aren't you? You're searching for proficiency. You're searching. You're trying to make people search for that perfect email. Over
Mourinho
time.
Really was good.
Exactly. I think the Mourinho of the Ramble.
The general consensus is that when you speak to your listeners, you give them the carrot. And I'm just saying sometimes you give them the stick. You know, you've always got to
And then
nice
you need to ask
the
them whether it's Pete or his dog eating it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right. Callum's also been in touch. Thank you to Fred for emailing, we should say. Mm. Callum's also
Bad
been
Fred.
In touch. Yeah. He says, regarding seeing footballers in the wild, I'm a manager of a Holland and Barrett in Bournemouth. And who would walk in today but Callum Wilson, who then spent £90 on vitamins. I thought maybe he still got a home down here and decided to visit it during the international break. But hours later, it was announced that Eddie Howe was going to once again be his manager. Did he get confused and come down to see Eddie, only for Eddie to be up in Newcastle signing his contract?
It does raise some questions.
What he doesn't mention is the fact that all you have to buy is one pot of vitamins in Holland and Barrett.
It's about 90 quid.
Oh, yeah. Also, yeah.
Price points are very high.
He's seen him in the wild, claims to be a manager of a Holland and Barrett. Is he like a sort of wandering like shaman? Like selling his wares in the wild.
Oh, like in the Wild West.
This implies this didn't happen in a shop.
I also don't think that Callum Wilson should be buying his own stuff.
Why not?
Because the email is from Callum. Is it Callum Wilson?
The club should be looking after him. The club should be saying this is what you need. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Oh, boy, when you're there, get some footballs. Do you know what I mean? No, you're the football club.
Maybe that's why he keeps getting injured. Yeah.
It's a confusing email section.
Well, they're taking over a very rusty regime, shall we say. This does make sense.
Is this the most confusing email section we've ever done?
No.
A Fred complaining about Fred and the Callum talking about Callum
this
in Holland and Barrett.
So matter. Mm. Yeah. Show at footballramble.com or tweet us at footballramble. Now, Jim, we've put it off long enough, but we're going to talk about Arsenal's progress.
We were there, weren't we, on Sunday?
We were there. I watched them progress the ball.
Yeah, you were very well behaved. Actually, I thought you were going to be really annoying, but you
thank
weren't.
Thank you. He sent me a message.
Not because of the Arsenal thing, just because generally that's your behaviour. That's just your personality type, mate.
Yeah, I just wanted to go watch some fucking football on a Sunday. I don't have to answer myself.
And you saw some, didn't you?
And I also think my new theory is that everybody should be made to go and watch
their rival.
Rival stadium and have like a... hopefully a nice day.
Yeah.
I was almost kind of, because Arsenal fans are such terrible losers, don't write in, that I was actually quite pleased that you won, to be honest, because it was a nicer like experience around the ground, although what a fucking scandal that you did win.
It wasn't so obvious in the stadium, was it, that was massively a foul by Ainsley Maitland-Niles, but...
Well, he was lying down on the ground for ages, but then there was...
I just assumed it was foul play, because I had my biased hat on, because he's in the ground. It happens, doesn't it?
It is funny. Yeah, it is really funny being the kind of like... sitting back watching you watch a game.
Yeah.
Anyway, but the other thing was they were upset, Claudio Ranieri, because they put the ball out and Arsenal just did a quick throw in to score.
I honestly don't care about that. No. I want us to be a bit nastier. Dicks.
And so if we're going to talk about Arsenal's progress more generally, this question might kick us off with, when you were at the game, did it seem a little bit antsy because Arsenal didn't score till quite late on?
Actually...
Because if it didn't, then that might be a nice barometer of how much they're moving on.
I mean, we have privately been keeping tabs on how long it takes for the first, like, around the stadium. And, it was 13 minutes in one case, 18 minutes. Unless I didn't notice it, I don't feel like it happened.
Right.
And
we did get a report for 25 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I don't feel the atmosphere was as tense as it can be if Arsenal are struggling to score. Like, I mean, I was impressed by them digging out a win there, even though the circumstances actually made that quite lucky, because Aubameyang's, like, brilliant save from Ben Foster for the penalty, but you want Aubameyang to score a penalty. Odegaard should have had what would have been a really lovely goal if Aubameyang hadn't like just forgotten about offsides. Like, so there was a... They had to like work through a bit of a silly performance, and that's a game they wouldn't have got 3 points from last season. And I do accept that it was quite fortuitous that they did, but still.
Yeah, I think it's fine. From my perspective, as I said to you at the time, it just the only thing I counter that with is it just didn't feel like Watford were that likely to score for much of the game. So I don't know if necessarily this is the one to gauge the progress from. But the point about Arsenal's progress, they're up to fifth. it's Mikel Arteta's 100th game in charge. So this is a good point to take stock. You know, 10 games unbeaten in all competitions. Now, okay, it's not the most illustrious run of games. It's, you know, it started with Norwich. It featured beating Tottenham 3-1, you know, easy stuff. But still, Brassel's brave boys in the League Cup, that was 3-1 as well. But there was good wins, you know, there were good wins there. It's good to be sitting. And the point about Arteta seems to be, after 100 games, is the whole question, this whole trust the process thing. Well, it almost seems like there is a hint of that. And talking about this, he's obsessed with unity, isn't he? And you'd have to be after what Arsenal have been through over the last few years. Yeah. It seems like he's starting to kind of Gareth Southgate this place.
Well, I mean, he's got his own squad a lot more, isn't he? The age profile of the squad is... I mean, if you look at Arsenal's first team now compared to how it was last season, it's quite dramatically different. Pretty much the whole defence is different, certainly from when he took over. And the players are a lot younger, they can all pull in the right...
We're sitting next to Jim, but was basically the whole way through the Arsenal game was just him going, I just really love Emile Smith Rowe. I just really love him. Like every 3 to 4 minutes, I would say.
He's quite a likable player.
Legs like Popeye's arms. Yeah. Really enjoyable.
Yeah. It was
sweet. Because I do. But yeah, the test comes with the next game, really, because Liverpool Anfield, that's tough. Very, you know, not unreasonable to lose that, even though Arsenal are actually only 2 points behind them and 20 goals, which is mad.
Yeah, but Jim, I was going to say that. I was going to say that, you know, a real litmus test will be the Liverpool game, because I know it seems like maybe a counterintuitive thing to say because they haven't lost a game at home this season, Liverpool, but they feel a bit gettable at home.
Yeah.
They've been pegged back. They've drawn 3 of their 5 games at home. They've not been like properly fluent at home on every occasion. At Anfield, in many ways, I know they lost to West Ham, but in many ways, they kind of look more efficient away from home. Mm. And it will be a real measure of where Arsenal are at, because Arteta's doing a fine job now. The terrible start of the season, they kind of seem to have ironed out those kinks, and obviously they haven't lost since. But we only see, it's slightly different if you're a passionate fan of Arsenal like you are, Jim, but general football fans who don't support Arsenal will mostly just see the games. The job that Arteta had to take care of when he came in was probably, 50% of the games? And 50% the whole culture.
Absolutely.
And the whole club. And that takes time. And I do think in this occasion, and this is completely different, by the way, to, say, a Solskjaer situation where you don't really see anything improving that much. Arteta's certainly earned the right now to be able to kick on. And I was surprised to hear that it had been 100 games.
It
doesn't seem anywhere near that many.
Does it?
But it's clearly gone by super fast. And now they're in some kind of decent form.
What I was going to say about the Liverpool game, though, is if they do lose that, which, you know, isn't a, you know, unfathomable, you know, scenario, is it? It's how you then bounce back from it. And if you then get straight back to winning and try to go onto another unbeaten run, and got to start taking some scalps like that if you actually want a proper tilt at the top four, which has to be the aim. I think it's still, that's going to be very difficult. Whoever finishes fourth this year is going to have done a hell of a job because it's so competitive.
It's up for grabs though, isn't it? The top three would take care of themselves probably.
Mm-hmm.
Four's up for grabs. And you've got different clubs making claims. I think the guys were spot on yesterday talking about West Ham. I think it's been way over the top what's been said about West Ham. It's November.
Yeah.
I think the guys were right to point that out yesterday. But they're making a claim. Spurs have got a brand new manager who's world-class. They're obviously going to be making a claim based on that. Arsenal have greatly improved. They're making a claim. You can't really write off Leicester, although people seem to have already. But I don't think you can because of what they've done in the past. So it's a real interesting battle, that. And I think you're right. Whoever gets there would have earned it, for sure. But I don't think Arsenal should be frightened of targeting it.
Absolutely not. No, it's got to be the aim. Absolutely.
Did you feel comforted by Josh Kroenke's interview on Sky where he said the club is not for sale, we're just getting started, we have a young manager, we have a young squad, and we're charting our path to the future, Jim?
Yeah, he made all the right noises, but actually the fact...
While looking like an Avengers supervillain.
Absolutely. But what the
PR-wise, he's got...
That's not on him, is it?
Well, he's chosen to have that beard and style it in an oil so it goes to a point.
People can be funny about their beards.
I agree. You're looking at one. I wish I could grow a proper one, but I can't.
But yeah, to be honest, it's rare that you ever heard from the Kroenkes.
Exactly.
So it's interesting that we're starting to hear
silent
from
stamp. Vintage.
Yeah, quite, because it got very toxic. To be honest, he didn't really say anything that made me think, oh, I think we've turned a corner here. And what he did say was that the resources you invest, you've got to invest very, very cleverly and very, very wisely, and essentially made the right noises about looking for younger players in a different age profile. That's the only way Arsenal can compete in this. There's loads of ways Arsenal concede. But it's the only way they can realistically compete in this market with the circumstances of the finances they have. So he's making all the right noises, but let's see what they add up to.
Yeah. Your boy's been called up to the England squad as after Marcus Rashford's withdrawal.
Yeah.
Mason Mount's to the squad been delayed by dental surgery, apparently. I hope he's all right. I don't know,
that's a championship manager one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, really.
I can remember the championship manager one, 97, 98, I think it was, when sometimes you just get dropped with the bomb that your player had a broken spine.
Yeah.
What's he doing? What's he doing?
Just terrible.
Get him in on loan. Yeah. Kim Kallstrom style.
Yeah. Also talking, there's been a lot of talkers from the Arsenal way recently. Arsene Wenger's been talking about, he said that he should have left the club in 2007.
Yeah.
When David Dean was on the, left the board, sorry. And he also said, Highbury was my soul, the Emirates was my suffering.
It's psychologically so interesting that, isn't it? Because I think obviously what happened to Arsene Wenger in terms of the years and years that the people of the club that, you know, once loved him, and obviously so many people still love him and will always love him, but there's that incredibly like vocal Wenger out brigade, and that went on for years. And like, however much you can compartmentalize these things, there is simply no way that doesn't affect you. Mm. And it's like it's taken him a bit of time to go,
Actually, that was horrible.
Yeah, that was horrible. And now on reflection, I really hated that.
It is horrible, but the reason I'm laughing is because sometimes you hear people say, do you know what? I probably played a year too long. Do you know what I mean? I probably went on a bit too long, maybe a year, a season too far. Gary Neville said it. 11 years, Arsene Wenger. Yeah. 11 years too long. I mean, I'm not even funny. That's quite a long time. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, but he wrapped his whole identity in with the club, didn't he?
The relationship went on a bit too long. How long?
11 years.
40 years.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, at the start of a beautiful relationship, hopefully. Spurs delivered no shots on target for their new boss, Antonio Conte.
Is that like a tradition now?
Up at Goodison Park against Everton.
Yeah.
0-0, the final score there. Everyone seemed to enjoy that game, particularly a particularly vocal fan. I don't know if you guys saw this.
Yeah.
He wasn't impressed by the performance of the referee. He was abusing him. He's going, Stuart Atwell, what game are you watching? Not this one. You're a cheat, Atwell. Which, by the way, I find pretty offensive.
I think that's the one thing you shouldn't say about a referee.
Yeah, absolutely fucking right. But luckily enough, it wasn't actually Stuart Atwell refereeing this game. It was Chris Kavanagh.
Sometimes the universe provides. Yeah. Sometimes you haven't got to say to that guy, your behaviour is appalling and you shouldn't be saying that.
Yeah.
Because the universe has decided that he's got the ref wrong and he'll have to wear that now. And people are going, are you
so
the guy?
Loud.
Are you the ref guy?
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd feel about that. Like, if I walked down the street and someone shouted at me, Marcus Speller, you're a prick! I'd be like...
I'd be fine with that. But, you know, there was another... Because Goodison Park is notorious for this, right? Howard Webb, when I interviewed him, said it's the hardest place to referee. The crowd is so close to you because the stadium's so old. They're so intense. And so I think this kind of stuff does happen a fair bit, because there was an Everton fan who was shouting at Martin Atkinson a while back saying that he couldn't referee a game with tiddlywinks. And the reason I remember that is because I enjoyed the reference.
Mm.
But it's funny because football seeks, the people who broadcast and run football seek to control absolutely every aspect of it. And there's certain things they can't control.
Yes!
And I was listening to West Ham Liverpool on the radio at the weekend, because I was driving back from somewhere. And all the way through the second half, there's this bloke who's right next to the commentary position just going, Irons! Like every 5 minutes. And you could hear the commentators get really pissed off, but they couldn't do anything about it, because the guy who's probably had a couple of beers isn't going to say, do you know what? I won't support my team for the rest of the game because it's annoying you.
Absolutely.
So it's great when this kind of stuff happens.
I always imagined tiddlywinks to be quite a technical refereeing gig, to be honest.
I'm surprised it has.
Detail orientated.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what is there to referee? Because you're just flicking a counter from another counter into a pot.
We're not pros, aren't we?
That's so British, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tiddlywinks. We are ridiculous people.
How are we going to relieve the boredom? That's the best idea you've got. Rubbish. Yeah.
Before we go, the second episode of our brand new show, Up Front, devoted to all things women's football, is out today on Football Ramble Presents. Flo Lloyd-Hughes, Chloe Morgan and Rachel O'Sullivan are discussing Brighton's remarkable season under Hope Powell and the interesting situation where Arsenal's fan board, made up of entirely male people, have been ruling on women's football development at the club. Check that all out on Football Ramble Presents. All right, gang, time to get out of here.
Thank you very much for having us, Kate,
and
as ever.
And being the great people that we can be. No, wait, what is it? This is another one from Arsene. I commit to improve myself and the team.
Oh, I think that's nice.
It is.
Why didn't he do it that much?
he did it a lot more than people think.
Yeah.
For Football Ramble, one for the neutrals. Say goodbye. Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Bye.
On tomorrow's show, it's Jules, Pete and Andy. Thanks for listening to today's Football Ramble, part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.